A65. Number 15B.
All right. Before I go on, would you like to comment on this level? Would you like to, something to be clarified? Yes, Edith?
At the beginning, you said we demonstrate the divine origin of the universe, or we should demonstrate God himself.
Right.
Now you tell us, let God do it.
Yes.
Because we don't know God's plan.
Yes.
I'm confused.
Are you? No. Don't we demonstrate the origin of the universe if we let God demonstrate itself? Because the origin of the universe is God, huh?
Yeah.
So if we let God demonstrate himself, huh? Yeah? Then we demonstrate the origin of being. No? Or where is the difficulty? It's the we. Yeah. Yeah. Is it the we?
First you tell us to demonstrate God, and then you say, no, let God do the demonstrating.
Yeah. We demonstrate God by letting God demonstrate himself.
Oh.
You see?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, that's the point, huh? So that we do not demonstrate something, huh? But let God, the divine origin of the universe, demonstrate itself as the origin of the universe.
Hmm?
Yeah. Therefore it's a great sense, huh? That we have an attitude of putting ourselves out of the way, huh? To put the personal I and we out of the way and say, I don't want to achieve anything. I don't want to say what should be demonstrated. I don't outline what the demonstration should be and how it should be and when it should be and how it should come about. I put all that personal I out of the way and just let the origin of the universe, or God, demonstrate what he wants to demonstrate. And what he wants to demonstrate is his nature. Huh? Yes? So he demonstrates out of his origin. Okay, that's a good question. Hmm? Thank you. Frank?
Are you now through with the level of divine science and you're going to go into absolute Christian science?
Well, it depends about the time. Do you ask that because of the law?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, I can take the law of divine science, yes, if you like me to do that. Mm-hmm. Any other question? Okay, then we can take that whole level of divine science as one overall law. We have taken now the specific laws of the world, the Christ, Christianity, and science, and if we take it together as one big law, we have seen that actually we could see that in this on this level of divine science, we would feel that here she brings out the law that everything operates. Or I can go further back quickly and say, what is the level of divine science? We have seen it's the level of the self-organization of being, because it for the first time comes in the operational sense of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, which is an operational sense. So we could take a whole law and see that actually here God operates actually in its own realm, in its one, in the realm of oneness, and that he operates really in four ways. Namely, always out of itself, that's the word, the self-existent life, out of itself, always through itself, through its own nature, through itself, that's the Christ, the expression of it, and always as itself, which is Christianity, namely the outcome as something, and forth always for itself, so that it goes back to the origin. Now here again, Jesus, you have the origin, huh? It goes right back to the origin where God says, I'm not going to demonstrate anything else but myself. Everything else is excluded, you see. I only know God as I am. Huh? So every demonstration goes right back to its origin, and this is a terrific law that actually John Dolly already could see. He didn't put it in a systematic order. He didn't say, well, this is the law of divine science or so. But very often when he was here and there, when he was speaking about the divine nature of this calculus, he would bring out this, that actually mind manifests itself out of itself, through itself, as itself, for itself. And now afterwards, naturally one could see where this law belongs to, namely here on the level of divine science. It is a terrific big law, as it must be when it is on the divine science level, which would clear away a lot of narrow little thinking in our consciousness if we consider it properly. Because what does it say? You see, in that law, that little term itself is actually the most important point that should wake us up, which says, all right, if I put instead of God, if I say mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, then I can see that mind operates, and when mind operates, it is usually in the specific term of manifestation, so that I feel that we can have here that law that mind operates, that mind manifests itself. Can you see, it does not manifest something else. It manifests itself always. It's always turned back to its origin. It manifests mind, and not just something. It does not just manifest health or happiness or anything like that. It manifests the whole of mind. Can you see something beautiful? You know, I should keep to the line or else I get always off the track. But the subject is so big, you know, that one can hardly stick to the straight and narrow of what one wants to present in that such short time. But to think, you see, that the whole, we have said, cannot be divided up into parts. Just not possible. Now, the human mind, as we are trained in the Western world, always divides everything up into parts. Always. That's how we were schooled. It always says the whole is a composite of lots of parts. Whereas now we are in that transitionary stage where we have to undergo the mutation of consciousness and to think always in wholes. Therefore, the whole mind, because it's whole, can never manifest itself as parts of mind. Never. So, we must train ourselves in the new consciousness to see that mind, which is a whole, manifests itself, the whole of mind, out of the whole of mind, out of itself. So that we have the terrific impact that we always have to deal with the whole of mind, and not just with tiny little parts of mind. And if we see that that has a Christ, then we begin to see that that mind manifests itself always through mind, not through a part, not through somebody, not through a channel, a limited channel, not through a time concept or a space concept or anything like that. It always operates through the whole of mind, so that we have a feeling the Christ mind, the whole of the Christ mind is always at work. Not only just some ideas are at work. And again, it gives a terrific impact that we see it is the whole Christ of mind that is operating and being used as a channel to express itself. So it does not just use a small, little, tiny, narrow channel, say, of a person or of an organization or of a church or of a people or of a body or of I don't know what, through which it can manifest itself. It's always through this whole mind. And then comes really the big point that mind manifests itself, that mind manifests itself as the whole of mind. So, see, we usually are accustomed to think that mind manifests itself as an idea. Say, as the idea of health, or the idea of happiness, or the idea of true relationship, or the idea of this and that and the other. Specific. But on the level of divine science, we must also undergo that mutation and see it's always the whole of mind that is expressed always in the demonstration. So that, and must be expressed, because the divine mind cannot be split up in parts. There is just no possibility of cutting up and splitting up and dividing up the whole into little parts. So that has as its consequence that everything that mind demonstrates is always of the bigness of mind. It's always the whole bigness of mind. And that means a lot, you see. That it is always the whole of God is somehow manifest as Christianity. So that concept just right away disappears where we feel, well, that's only a small demonstration, that's only a little demonstration, that's an insignificant demonstration. I'm only one of God's little ones, you know. I just get furious when I hear those God's little ones. It gives me really the creep. Yes. Because behind it is that sense that God, that is so enormous, that is the all, can just be split up in little, tiny, little things, you know. It cannot. Just not possible. So that, what does it do to us? What it does to us is that we begin finally to realize the bigness of our being. Can you see, we only get the bigness of our being, of our individual being, actually when we see that mind or God cannot manifest itself as something smaller than mind. Can you realize that frees us from that thought that we say, well, I'm not important, I'm not very important, I'm insignificant, it really doesn't really matter what my contribution is, and this is just a little bit. Can you see all that false sense of humbleness, huh? We which says, well, I have to be humble, I'm insignificant, I'm only a little pebble on the beach. No one is a little pebble on the beach. We are not pebbles. They are always holes, big holes, all whole. We are God in expression. How can we say to God in expression, God in manifestation, that this is just a little pebble on the beach? That this doesn't matter, that this is insignificant. And before we don't feel the bigness of ourselves, we have no big God. If we have a small man, we have a small God. But if we have a big God and are really true to the law and in its deduction, we have a big man, a very big concept of man. That's why Jesus was the Son of God, and not only the Son of Man. Yes, so, oh yeah, then the law goes on, that mind manifests itself out of itself, then through itself, then as itself, as the whole of mind, and force, now we go back to the origin, for itself, for the glory of itself. And also this point seems to be so important for our consciousness. It helps us to get out of the ordinary Christian Science rut of demonstration, which always goes out, as we said, to demonstrate something instead of demonstrating the origin of everything, of demonstrating God, for God. If we get used to that concept, then actually it becomes so much easier, because then we don't have to strive and to struggle for some kind of demonstration, because then we can see it's not me that defines what has to be demonstrated, it's still God that defines what has to be demonstrated and demonstrates it. It gives a sense of ease comes on the student, on our consciousness, when we feel that we don't have to make any demonstration, but that divine mind always manifests itself for the glory of mind. Yes. Well, that doesn't give us time to start with absolute Christian Science, so I better stay with this law, and perhaps we just can add something more to that law. We have seen, if we go back always to the category of divine science, the tonality, we have seen that on that level, in regard to evil, we say it is excluded. Evil is excluded. So, if we go through that law of divine science, we can always add, so to say, as a rule of thumb, what is excluded. See, so we strengthen always a law when we see it positive and its aspect on the negative. So for instance, if we go through that law of mind, we could say, all right, what does it mean that mind manifests itself out of itself, out of itself, out of the whole of mind? Therefore, what is excluded? It is absolutely excluded. Now you come to the negative. It's absolutely excluded that mind manifests itself out of our thinking, out of our intellectual thinking, out of what we think, what we consider to be a treatment. See, it does not come out of our mind. So that is excluded, that something manifests itself out of our thinking. If we go on and say that mind manifests itself, through the medium of the mind itself, through the whole of mind. So that excludes really that mind manifests itself through my faculties, through my abilities, through the human will. Any other thing is excluded. It's no more possible. Because the belief naturally is that we think that through human thinking, through human will, that through that channel we can also manifest something. So you exclude that. Or you go to mind manifesting itself as itself. Well, that really excludes that it manifests itself as human intellect, or the human minds, or as minds many. Just excluded. Can you see how mind always wipes out and excludes that it could demonstrate, could manifest itself and represent itself as human thinking, or human activity, human will, human minds, human influences, all that just excludes it. Or you sit back and you see, well, mind manifests itself always for the glory of itself. For the glory of itself. How much do we feel that we demonstrate God for the glory of ourselves? We are very proud when we can demonstrate something. And so we feel we demonstrate it for the fulfillment of our desires, for our ambitions. Can you see? All that must be excluded in our consciousness. That nothing enters that would like to manifest mind for the glory of anything else but God, for the glory of people, for the glory even of Christian Science. You know, it's very tempting to try to make a demonstration to prove it to somebody. So often people come along and say, well, I think I would believe in Christian Science if you could prove this and that to me. Or if I would see this or that proof, or this or that demonstration. And the temptation is to see, all right, I'm going to show you. And we are right off the track. Our motive is no more pure. God is not such a tiny little, what you call them, gnome, huh? That he has to be glad that some person, someone, acknowledges his power and his majesty. He's not there to justify himself before people. That's out of his purpose, that he should be justified before people. So the moment within us something says, I would like to demonstrate God, so to show to the other one that God is mighty, we are already off. The motive is no more pure. Mad ambition enters in, a false purpose enters in, a false goal enters in, with the glorification, no more of God himself, because he glorifies himself by what he is. And so that's true of mind. And so we could go on to spirit and to soul and principle. We could go on to spirit and begin to see, well, how does spirit operate? And we could see that spirit operates in the way of spirit, namely as evolution. So spirit evolves itself out of itself. Terrific. Terrific. Can you see how terrific it is? Because what do we expect usually how things should evolve? We say, well, what do I have to do to evolve the idea of science? To evolve and to make progress in science. And you have started wrongly. You have started, what shall I do? We can't do a thing. If we don't draw from the origin, if we don't demonstrate the origin of evolution, which is spirit itself, we have started wrongly. So we must drop all that human effort of trying to evolve Christian Science and really go back to spirit and see spirit is that which evolves itself. It evolves itself out of itself, not out of our human desires, of our human affection or worship or anything like that. It evolves itself, through the whole of spirit. It evolves itself through the whole of spirit, and not through matter, not through anything else. It evolves itself, therefore, as spirit, as the whole of spirit. If it evolves as the whole of spirit, that's alone the possibility that something new can unfold. If it would not be the whole of spirit, then perhaps that which has already been evolved would evolve and would evolve and stay stagnant. But because spirit is the whole of evolution, there is always the possibility that a new idea, the newness of life, will break through. And we come to the further point that spirit evolves itself for itself. By golly. The moment we try to see that we would like to evolve the idea of science to be a big shot, we have lost the game. If that is the aim, that I can say, well, it was Max that has discovered that, and it was Max that has seen that, and it was Max that did make the great, I'm lost. I'm finished. Because it doesn't work. It works only the other way around. Where I say, I don't care for what I'm used. I don't care what happens with me. I'm out of the way. All what I want to see is that the glory of spirit's evolution comes forth. And if it's that consciousness, we are really then in a rhythm with being itself. Okay.